You only get one shot at Kilkenny. That will be the opinion of many Dubs fans as the Cats escape the slaughter in Port Laois. Quiet business pays off for Cork as they surprise everybody with a win over Clare in the Munster Hurling Championship. And London Calling is the song on every Leitrim iPod as the Exiles just miss out on a Connacht final. This is Talking GAA. I'm Dave O'Grady. I'm delighted to be joined by Colleen Duffy, a freelance GAA correspondent, and Stephen Long of Beat FM. Lads, you're very welcome to the programme. Stephen, I'll start with yourself and I'll give your own county a little bit of a mention there in the qualifiers. Getting the job done against Offaly, 21 points to 114. I think one of the major talking points on the game was Maurice Shanahan. It turned out to be his show. He was sublime for the Daisha.
Yeah, I think this year we're finally starting to see the Maurice Shanahan that's played so amazingly on the club scene for the last couple of years. He's really torn up the Waterford County Championship since he was 18 or 19, but he was never really able to replicate that on the county. But now it seems this year he's really starting to do very well. He was brilliant in the first half against Clare, kind of faded in the second. I think he had a bit of a niggling injury, but anytime you score 13 points, including 8 points from play, especially away from home and against a tough team in a championship game, you have to be very happy with that. So if he keeps on playing the way he is, Waterford have a great chance, especially when you lose a player of John Milan's calibre. You really need as many forwards to step up to the plate as much as you can, and he's certainly been one of them.
Chances galore, I suppose, particularly for Waterford. A lot of wides as well. Would that be something that the Daisha will be a little bit concerned about?
Oof, more than concerned. I think they hit 32 wides in total in those first two championship games, which is simply not good enough. If they keep on, if their scoring rate keeps on going the way they are, they're going to find it very difficult. If they get through Westmeath this weekend, they are probably looking at one of Tip, Dublin or Kilkenny, and if they keep on hitting the wides they are, they're not going to come through that game. You could argue that that would be okay if they were scoring the goals to make up for that, but they've only scored one goal in their last four championship games, going back to the Munster final against Tip last year. So it's not like they're getting the hit in the back of the net to make up for that. So at the moment, it absolutely needs to be worked on. It's the number one concern. And certainly, you look at it's hard to kind of, after getting a great win against Offaly, it's probably bad to be picking out the bad points, but that's a major concern, and it's something that needs to be worked on.
Can we take a few positives for Offaly out of this one, Stephen? I mean, we've looked at them so far in the championship, and they have caused a little bit of a scare in both the games.
They have, and the draw couldn't have been much worse for them. To play Kilkenny in their first match against in Leinster, and then having to come up against the toughest side in the preliminary round of the hurling quarters, it wasn't kind to them at all. But they are a good side, and they have a lot of good players. And if the draw was kinder to them, they would have been playing a phase one or a phase three game, and that would have just only benefited them. But now it's the 24th of June and they don't have another competitive game for 8 months, which seems crazy for an Offaly side who are, they're not the Offaly of old, but they're still one of the best 8 or 9 hurling teams in the country. So I would be very upset if I was an Offaly fan. It's kind of gone by the wayside for them in terms of how the draw went for them. But there's still a lot of positives to take from the year. They really put it up against Kilkenny. Anytime you score 4 goals against Kilkenny is quite a good return. So there are things that need to be worked on. I know a lot of the Offaly fans weren't happy with some of the management decisions made during the Waterford game. Who knows what management's going to be there next year, but there are positives to take from them, and certainly the future of Offaly hurling looks a lot brighter now than it did, say, 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, Colleen Duffy, Stephen mentioned Kilkenny there as well, and they were of course in action in your own home county of Laois, taking on the Dubs in Port Laois. And Brian Cody, I know, he admitted that his side were out-hurled by Dublin in the Leinster semi-final, and they got out of jail at the very end with a late equaliser to secure a 114 to 17 point draw.
They certainly were, and I was at the game myself, and it was really a get out of jail card, because in reality, when Joey Boland popped over his 9 point with not too much time left, it looked like Dublin were on card for a famous victory over the Cats. Not since the 1940s, I believe, had they beaten Kilkenny in the Leinster Championship, but certainly it was hell for leather in those closing stages. TJ Reid popped up out of nowhere, basically, and slotted over that equalising score. Kilkenny will certainly have been glad with that result. They've been riding their luck a little bit already in the championship this year. Struggled at times against Offaly in that opening round, and then last Sunday in Portlaoise, well, Dublin really had them rattled. Stark contrast, I suppose, to 12 months ago when there was 11 points between the sides, and I think it was 18 the previous year. You know, Dublin hurling has been improving. People have been saying maybe of late that it hasn't been so good because of results like the under-21s, for instance, against Carlow in the championship this year, and of course against Laois last year. But certainly Dublin are beginning to come back into the championship. They're going to have at least 5 games this year, and if they don't beat Kilkenny next weekend, well, it's going to be 5 games in 5 weeks for them in the championship, and that's certainly a busy schedule. They'll be hoping that, you know, it'll push on towards a Leinster final rather than an All-Ireland qualifier.
Yes, Stephen, very quickly on this match, I mean, Anthony Daly will, of course, be happy that there wasn't a repeat of last year. He asked his Dublin team to stand up to Kilkenny, in which they did, but as the saying goes, you do only kind of get one shot at Kilkenny. Will Brian Cody do the homework, iron out any of the flaws and get the job done the next day?
Everything suggests that they will get the job done next year. I spoke to Jackie Cattle about this game on Beat last week, and we both kind of agreed that an 18-point defeat for Dublin, to turn that into a Dublin victory, was just too much to ask for, though we didn't think it would be as much as a double-digit defeat. There's a lot of positives to take to Dublin. There's a lot of problems for Kilkenny, especially in that back line, which you would have laughed at if you even said such a sentence a couple of years ago. But everything does point to Kilkenny probably getting the job done. I can't see it being a whitewash. I think Dublin will really put it up to them. But there is the kind of a fear factor for Dublin that if they don't win this, a qualifier against Tipperary is really a tough draw for them.
Yeah.
And they're going to do everything they can to avoid that.
Yeah, it doesn't get much easier in the hurling championship. And lads, going back down to Munster, I suppose, Davy Fitzgerald was bitterly disappointed, Stephen, with Clare's performance against Cork. I think Cork did go quietly about their business, but I mean, we were looking coming into the game, Clare were by far the favourites, but Cork surprised everybody, or maybe not, as Davy Fitzgerald said.
Yeah, I was a bit surprised that Clare having at the favourites tag before this game. But the big shock when I looked at it was just how Clare didn't turn up in that second half. I know they were facing up against a very strong wind, but everything seemed to be going okay for them in the first half. They would have preferred if they were a couple of points further ahead. They missed a couple of goal chances, but would have thought at that stage that they're motoring well. We saw against Waterford that they're a very fit side that would keep on going until the 70 minutes. So I'm not really sure where that second half performance came from. But again, in fairness to Cork, they've had a lot of bad injury problems the last couple of months, and now they're facing into a Munster final against Limerick, which would probably be another hard one to call. So you can't really argue with what Jimmy Barry Murphy's done with that side.
Colleen, there's a lot of positives as well for Jimmy Barry Murphy. You know, as Stephen was saying, I think they finished the game with 10 different players on the score sheet, and of course their all-star goalkeeper Nashy notched over 2 frees as well.
And I had a classy pair of headphones, a pair of Beats on them before the game. I saw a pick as well. But certainly Cork are in the right place at the moment. A Munster final, who would have believed it? But there's probably been signs going back to last year that despite this Cork team being young and maybe inexperienced and not too many guys with All-Ireland medals still around, they're certainly proving quite well in terms of Conor Lehan, for instance, Luke O'Farrell, other players like them. They really come to the fore. And I suppose Jimmy Barry Murphy, well, he heaped praise on Dave Matthews, the physical trainer, after the game. And I suppose that was really what told in the end. Cork's fitness and firepower in that second half, outscoring Clare by 15 points to 4. It doesn't too often happen in a Munster semi-final, but it happened last Sunday, and it certainly going to be a cracking Munster decider between Cork and Limerick now in a couple of
weeks. That's going to be really exciting. Stephen, I know you've got to rock and roll, but just before you go, I mean, we look at that cracking Munster decider. It's going to be unbelievable. Cork against Limerick. and Clare taking on Laois. So Clare getting the good run of the draw there.
Yeah, they have. I'm really looking forward to that Munster final. I think it's one of the more unique Munster finals that hasn't happened since 92, I think it was. So it'll mean a lot to both sides. I sent a tweet about a week or two ago saying it would be historic for Cork to win a Munster championship, and someone was at me saying, God, it's never hit an historic moment for Cork to win Munster because they've won it so often. But considering the changes in personnel that they've had under JBM the last couple of years, and considering, you know, the problems with Sean O'Gahalbean and John Gardner, if they were to come away with a Munster championship this year, it would be historic for them. It would be, I think it's 7 years now the last time they won a Munster title, which is far too long for a team of Cork's tradition. So they will really want to win it. But as for Limerick, I mean, they've had their problems more recently in the last couple of years, and the Munster title would mean everything to Limerick supporters. I know a lot of long-suffering Limerick men who would die happy if they got to see Limerick win another Munster title. And I think the home advantage for Limerick is a huge... That could be absolutely crucial. They're playing in the same grounds that they defeated a Tipperary side by 3 points, and were far the better side there. So they can go into that game against Cork with a huge amount of confidence and thinking that they can find their day is finally going to come in a Munster final.
Yeah, it might just happen. Well, Stephen Long of Beat FM, thanks a million for joining us on the programme this evening.
Thanks very much, Alex.
Cheers. Colleen, to keep with yourself and move things on to football, there was a lot of talking points. There's no doubt we can get away from it. And Leitrim London, they'll have to meet again for a spot in the Connacht final. First things first, it's great to see London up at this stage in the championship.
It certainly is. And I was in London on Saturday for Westmeath in London in the senior hurling qualifier, and the great buzz around the place. And that buzz had been permutating, I suppose, since the victory over Sligo in the senior football championship. Also was there for the media night. And it's great to see there's a good buzz around London at present. And it's not just among the players that we've seen on the pitch in recent weeks or involved in the panel, but around the underage and everything else. It's no different. There's a buzz among the kids. It's the same as any other county in that regard. But I suppose it's a bit unfortunate perhaps that the replay of this particular game won't be in Dr. Hyde Park next it will be in Dr. Hyde Park next Sunday, but it won't be in Ruislip. And a lot of people disappointed with that. I know London PRO Declan Flanagan, speaking to him, would have loved to have the game over there, and it would have brought a great buzz and great promotion and everything else to the game in the English capital. And a lot of London media interest over there would have emanated should that game have been played in Ruislip. But it's been fixed for Dr. Hyde Park for 3:40 next Sunday, and the focus is certainly there for both sides. Leitrim playing a little bit of a get out of jail card, I suppose, had the option of taking a victory as well, but Kieran Egan sent a 45 metre kick wide with the final kick of the game. London, some excellent players, I suppose the likes of Lorcan Mulvey, for instance, a former Cavan player, their captain Seamus Hannan, a former Longford footballer, and of course the current player of the month for me, Mark Gotcha. Well, you know, they've all been having decent games of late. Mark Gotcha, a big loss during the game through injury, but certainly London have showed that they're a force to be reckoned with. It's going to be an interesting Connacht final, no matter what happens in this particular replay, because Leitrim don't make too many Connacht finals. London have never been there, and it's certainly going to be a cracking encounter, and one, I'm sure, which will see at least 7,500 people go to Hyde Park. There was a similar enough attendance, 7,698 in Leitrim last weekend, and it's going to be a cracking encounter. They say replays don't live up to their drawn encounters, but I expect these sides to go hammer and tongs at it again for this replay.
Hammer and tongs, there's no doubt about that, Colleen, and we're delighted to be joined by Emmett Ryan of Action81.com. Emmett, thanks a million for coming on the programme this evening. Colleen, just talking there a little bit about the Leitrim London clash, and I think one of the big things that people are talking about this replay is that there's a good chance that London might just be slight favourites. They might have what it takes to get the job done and get themselves into a Connacht final.
Yeah, well, I suppose one of the things going against London, though, is that they have to travel again. I don't know if they're staying over the week or not. I'm sure Colleen will know that for certain. But
They flew back today, actually.
They flew back today. So, yeah, they got to go home to London back to their jobs during the week, fly back next weekend. If they had that game in Ryslip, that would be a huge advantage for them. Now, I know the Connacht Council has a long-standing agreement that London are guaranteed a home game every year, and that's why like the game is always in Ryslip. I understand that. But they're missing out on a huge opportunity to promote the game, I think, amongst the emigrant community, which is kind of only going to grow for the next few years, if we're being honest about it, lads. So to me, that's a big mistake on their part. And playing the game in Hyde Park, you know, it'll suit Leitrim more, because obviously it's not too far from most of the lads as well, in Roscommon, of course. So London, having to make a second trip again, it'll be a big ask on them. Like, unfortunately, and you know, most of people I think, you know, listen to this will have the same view as me. I'm not really sure what to make of this game, because there wasn't an awful lot shown of it on a Sunday game last night. I watched all the live games in the weekend, and I figured, well, everyone's talking about this game on Twitter, everyone's talking about it on Facebook. I heard an awful lot of people from outside the west of Ireland and London, just so we're clear here, saying they were really looking forward to seeing the Leitrim London highlights, because it sounded like a cracker. And I mean, like a tokenistic 2 minutes, like, you know, that was frustrating.
Yeah, there's no doubt it was indeed frustrating. Is it fair to say, Emmett, though, that London have kind of been knocking on the door over the past few years? I mean, we've seen the close games that they've had, the likes of Mayo and Roscommon, and we always seen that they did it over in Ruislip, but they came over here this time and really should have probably won the game against Leitrim. But this has been coming, it's probably fair to say.
Yeah, I think it has been. Like, I didn't think it would be Sligo, to be honest, Dave. I thought it would actually be Leitrim they'd eventually take. But, like, you know, so I was very impressed it took Sligo. And given I thought they had a chance at Leitrim if they'd played them this year, naturally, them playing them this year in a round later than you'd have expected, you got to give them a very good chance. Like, I consider this one a pick 'em. Like, Leitrim have obviously got their off-field issues with the guys that were moved from the panel. And there's the injury concerns as well coming on from that game, because naturally, players with a few knocks. I know Ellen Mulligan got hurt in that game. I'm not sure in his availability for the replay. But, you know, you're looking at a situation there. Leitrim, it's a small enough panel to begin with, because remember, like, Leitrim is not a big place population-wise. There's about as many people, like, you know, in Rathmines as there are in Leitrim, roughly speaking. Okay, it's a bit of an exaggeration. Yeah. But not to think, it's about 25,000 population, I think, in Leitrim. So not that much of an exaggeration, like, you know. So that would naturally be, like, they haven't got a huge player pool to work off. And they do a great job off of a very small playing pool, being competitive, and you know, much more so than you'd expect from a county of that size. So I think it's going to be a very close one, like real hard one to call, to be honest.
Yeah, we'll look forward to that one, it has to be said. And Colleen, moving to Ulster now, and Donegal, they really held on to a bit of a tight tussle at Breffni Park there, defeating Down 12 points to 9 to reach their third success of Ulster Senior Football Championship final. But I think a lot of people will agree that Jim McGuinness's side were very far away from the ruthless beast that we've come to know from Donegal.
The game was, I suppose, unimpressive in that nature, just 3 points in it at the end. But I suppose one would have to give credit to Down and to the tactics that James McCartan employed as manager, because you're coming up against a man with great guile and everything else in Jim McGuinness when it comes to the tactical battles. And that's certainly on Sunday, I think Down broke down Donegal quite well in that regard. You had 6 points coming from place ball. It shows maybe that Donegal were limited in other sectors, but I suppose Ulster football, well, sometimes it's brandished with the problems, I suppose, of being very defensive in nature and everything else, but and not so pretty to watch. But certainly, I suppose Donegal done the job when it's needed. And, you know, the Ulster title, it means a huge amount to them. They want to hold on to that silverware. They have the chance now. I was talking to Jimmy McGuinness last week. The provincial title means everything. They'll have their eye, I'm sure, on All-Ireland silverware and trying to retain that. That hasn't been that easy over the last few years, as we all well know. But provincial silverware comes first. It means a lot to the people of Donegal and the people of Ulster as well. And there's certainly going to be a more improved in performance, I think, from Donegal. We see them coming into the right end of the championship now, and I think they can only get better. They just needed to get over Down at the weekend, and they've done that much.
Yeah, I suppose, Emmett, Down were never really in front in the game, but at the same time, it was kind of frustrating having to see Benny Coulter constantly having to drift deep in order to get involved in the action. But they will take positives in the sense that they did push the champions as far as they could in the game. You know, they asked a lot of questions of arguably the best team in the country.
Yeah, it was interesting. I suppose the thing that's frustrated me reading this morning, Dave, on both you know, online and message boards, and also in most of the national press, is everyone's talking about, like, you know, Donegal look weak now because of performance. I saw a lot of positives in what Down did, especially I'm one of the biggest guys to rag on James McCartan for trying to build from his defence rather than from his attack. It was in building his strengths that way when really they haven't got that much strength at the back naturally. And so what they actually did on Sunday was they were really thinking attack-minded, even though you go, they only had 19 shots, only 9 scores. The entire base of what they were doing was to try and make life easier going forward. And it started really in the middle because they realized that if they could beat Donegal between the 45s, or at least even force a draw with them, which is what I would have called it, then they had a real chance at winning this game. They were very patient on the ball, knew how to pass it around, and this could have freed up time for halfbacks who were staying deep to get forward to support the attack and be that link up between the likes of Benny Coulter, the likes of Conor Laverty. But just Down, it was the one thing missing from their game was getting the supporting attackers up that Donegal do when they go forward. Because Donegal, they control the ball in the middle, they can play very deep, but the reason they're able to still have lots of guys up front is they get men who've been supporting defenders ahead of the ball when they're at the attacking end. That's just what Down weren't able to do on Sunday. That's why, essentially, they got very few shots that were easy in the game. Now, Donegal landed some massive scores, including one bizarre one where Michael Murphy converted from close to 60 metres out. Then the referee decided that Down hadn't given him enough space. So he brought the free forward. The alleged 30 feet looked more like 30. But he converted it again. And the important part was he did score the one that was moved, before he was moved forward. So no one can really complain about it too much. Like he had a big boot in him, and it's never been in doubt that the guy can score from long range. But as well with Donegal, the concern I'd have there is, because against Tyrone, they didn't really miss Carl Lacey. I know he came on for a bit, but he wasn't as big a factor. But they really missed Lacey and Gallagher combined, because Donegal do rely on that middle third game an awful lot, and they don't actually have that much depth in that part of the field. The likes of Lacey, the likes of Gallagher, I know Ryan Bradley went off injured, Frank McGlynn had to go out as well. They basically were running very thin on bodies, and you could see that the caliber of players they're bringing in, normally I'd describe Donegal as having a team with a very deep bench, but every bench has its limits, and Donegal basically got to the very extent of that, really, in that part of the field. So I was talking to some Donegal people today. They're telling me that they put both players to be fit for the Ulster final. I think that's crucial for the Murray because they need both Gallagher and Lacey to get some serious game time before they get to Croke Park in August. I've little doubt they're going to beat whichever one of Cavan and Monaghan they play in the final. To me, that's a bit of a toss-up game. From a pure analytical perspective, to get nerdy for a second, I'd rather see Cavan win because it'd be a more interesting match, I think, than Monaghan. Because Monaghan, I think we know what they do already. They're very much a developing side. There's a lot of creative stuff coming that way. So seeing how that matches up Donegal, while I still think it'd be one-sided, it would be a more interesting game than a Monaghan-Donegal game.
Yeah, I think Cavan surprised us in the league particularly, and they've brought a lot of that form into the championship. And as you said, Emmett, it probably would be a very interesting Ulster final. Of course, Donegal aimed to become the first county to win 3 Ulster titles in a row since Armagh completed the treble in 2006. So we'll see who they take on, either Monaghan or Cavan. And just before we go, lads, we'll turn our attention back to the qualifiers. There was a couple of other games that caught the attention. Colleen Wexford got over their heartache against Dublin in the hurling to defeat Antrim 3-18 to 17 points.
Yeah, and I suppose goals win games, yeah. And that certainly showed in that particular encounter. I suppose Antrim maybe have struggled a bit this year, but certainly, full value to get to this stage of the championship. But the goals really killed them. Watching the highlights on the Sunday game on Sunday night, really, it was a goal that came before the break, I think, that put Wexford on the front foot. And Jack Guiney, immense from frees. I saw him a couple of times during the year, but Garrett Sinnott, 4 points from play. Paul Morris got 1-2 from play, as well as did Rory Jacob, and scores flowing quite freely in that Wexford attack as well. It'll be interesting. Lee Chin, as we know, quite a busy man. He's captaining the Wexford under-21 hurlers on Wednesday night against Carlow in the Borgash Energy Leinster semi-final in Dr. Cullen Park in Carlow. So he'll be hoping that some of the momentum from the weekend will continue this Wednesday night in Dr. Cullen Park. Antrim, I suppose it's back to the drawing board now for them once again, but they do have an Ulster final, of course, to look forward to as well. The winners of Down versus Derry with them in the Ulster final. So it's not all over this year for Antrim, and hopefully from their perspective they can end with a high after what has been a disappointing championship so far, it's fair to say.
It has indeed. And Emmett, again, we could have had another London talking point had their hurlers done the business over Westmeath, but it wasn't to be. They lost out 115 to 11 points.
Yeah, it was one of the fascinating things really for me the last year or so has been Westmeath becoming far more competitive with the other teams at the, well, this was the lower end of the Lee McCarthy teams in Leinster, for want of a better way of describing them, because historically Westmeath was a team you wanted to draw in the championship if you're in Leinster. Like, it was seen as an easy win. Now, if you're a Wexford or an Offaly, you know that it's not an easy win, and that's a huge step forward for them. And like, Leash would not look, you know, would now take a Westmeath team seriously. So like, while they're still a long way off, like, being a team that could seriously do any serious business in the competition, I think that level of development still deserves a fair bit of, respect, like, for how far they've come on that level.
Yeah, yeah. And just before we leave the show, lads, as we're just out of time, Colleen, I'll have to congratulate yourself for the Laois hurlers, the up-and-coming hurlers, I suppose, for Laois. it's looking very good, it has to be said.
Yeah, great win for the Miners on Sunday, of course. And I suppose we saw last Sunday week the excellent display by the seniors against Galway in the Leinster Senior Hurling semi-final. Things are on the up in the O'More County in terms of hurling. And I suppose in particular, that senior display last week was probably one of the best displays witnessed in the last 8 years or so, the last time we got to a Leinster semi-final. But 114 to 13 points have finished over Wexford on Sunday. 8 points to 1-4. Wexford led at halftime, but it was a super second half, and really the home crowd buoyed on these lads, of course, managed by Pat Critchley. It's a first Leinster final now since 1991. It's going to be against Kilkenny, but hearing from some people who are at Kilkenny's game against Dublin, we're in with a fighting chance, and it's a two-horse race. And as we all know, at minor level, anything can happen. But certainly heady days for Laois hurling, and it'll be interesting to see what continues now in the coming weeks. Of course, we've Clare in the All-Ireland Senior Hurling qualifiers to look forward to as well. So it might be a bit of a longer summer than some people might have imagined at the start of the year.
Yeah. Yeah, and I do believe the train keeps on rolling with talent in the carriages. I understood that. I think the Laois under 16s beat Dublin there as well last week or whatever. But
that's right. There's only a couple of points in it at the end. But I suppose on the flip side, when you're mentioning Dublin hurling there, and I mentioned the Dublin under 21s defeat earlier, things maybe not going so well in the capital for Dublin hurling at the minute, so they'll be hopeful the seniors can push it on a bit further this weekend.
Yeah, onwards and upwards, as I say. Well, I'm afraid we're out of time here on Talking GAA. My thanks to Colleen Duffy, Emmett Ryan and Stephen Long for joining me. We'll do it all again very, very soon. We'll be looking back at all the action in both the GAA football and hurling championships. Lads, thanks very much.